You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you catch it if I really, really would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the roar, and I'd like to give you information, asking for love, but blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number two, everybody, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Common Sense Show at its old time. Yes, we're moving. Anyway, we are in hour number two, and we are moving to 8 p.m. start time Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. And we're going to say it a couple more times, and you're going to get tired of hearing it, but people tune in at all times of this show, so that's right. So you people on the East Coast aren't going to have to go to work bleary-eyed. You're going to get your sleep. Our producer is doing his happy dance over this. So, again, next week, with Doug Hagman as our guest, we'll be starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. And I hope that you went up to the website, thecommonsenseshow.com, and signed up for the newsletter so we can keep you abreast of the latest that's going on, as well as show news and news across the planet, particularly Jade Helm. We're in for some dark days, aren't we, folks? We really are. In fact, interesting, when I was up in Chino Valley yesterday, as I mentioned, speaking to the Oath Keepers, they want to know about communications. Once the poop hits the fan, they said, well, how do we communicate with each other? And I said, well, I got just the guy for you. And then we were talking, you know, with Stuart in the last hour about he felt that food preparation was among the most important things you could do, so the administration could not use food as a weapon against the people to force compliance. And we have someone that can help you with that, too. And then we feel that you really need to have your night vision goggles. In fact, I was actually talking to one of my friends over at Before It's News, and works for them, and he was running through his preparations with me yesterday, and I said, do you have night vision? He goes, yeah, that's the one thing I got to get. And he's right, because night vision allows you to see the bad guys at night before they can see you. And you know who we're talking about. We're talking about the guy that sells all this stuff is Bob Griswold. He sells the PVS 14 third generation auto gated unit. He sells the communications that you can keep in touch with loved ones from afar once communications break down. He sells Bob's Mountain House Foods, which are the best in the industry. And he has a special for Common Sense Show listeners. For every $100 you buy, Bob will send you 15 pre-1964 dimes. And you can mix or match six cans to a case, and you're going to get free shipping. Oh, yeah, what a great deal. Free shipping. Same as Steve Quayle. Free shipping. Call Bob tomorrow at 800-627-3809. That's 800-627-3809. ReadyMadeResources.com. You can go up there and look at the full menu of products and services that Bob offers. And again, that number is 800-627-3809. Find out why he's been in business successfully for 19 years. Well, Annie, as you know, we have taken on a variety of causes and issues through our years together here on the Common Sense Show. And among them is CPS. And we had on Christy from Virginia CPS, or formerly of Virginia CPS, and we asked her the question, when CPS goes out and they take kids, how many times is it legitimate? And I believe she said it was about 10% of the time. They get their budgets funded by federal money. They get $5,000 a month for each kid, and if a kid has a disability, that adds to the total that they get from the Fed. And if the kid's a minority status, that adds to the level. So snatching kids is big business, and they've been known to fabricate evidence. And we took on the cause of the case of Monica Wesolowski. In fact, it was just a little over a year ago that Monica first reached out to me, and I did some research on her case, and lo and behold, this was a bad deal. But let me give you some background, because Monica's going to be joining us in just a moment, and we're going to talk about an update on her case. We're going to review the major findings, because while we're dealing with Jade Helm, let's not forget that there are people trying to sneak into our back doors and take our kids illegitimately. Monica had a casual, and I want to emphasize casual, past relationship with investigator Jose Ramirez. And who was he? His nickname was Tito, and he was doing research for Congressman Frank Wolf on child sex trafficking. Congressman Wolf is actually Monica's congressman, Fairfax County, Virginia. And he was hot on the trail. Now, I've been told he's been warned off, or we'll break you down to the level of the rookie, and your commitment, your committee assignments will reflect all that. Well, anyway, Tito's daughter, our daughter, played with Monica's son, Dylan. But they didn't have, you know, like I said, this formal relationship. And Monica was in no way, shape, or form involved with Tito's activities. Well, it's interesting that Tito met an interesting demise. His death, let's say, was mysterious, to say the best. The best-case scenario was suspicious. And simultaneously, Monica, who is a State Department employee, had her taxes audited. A federal employee with only one source of income had her taxes audited. And then she was drug-tested at her job with no change in her work status, her work performance. Well, why would they be concerned? Well, because they're probably afraid that Monica might know what Tito was up to. And he was looking into things like Ambassador Stevens, the late Ambassador Stevens, who was running guns, drugs, and kids to fund regime change through supplying Al-Qaeda. And, of course, he was becoming a liability, and he had to be eliminated. And, you know, if you go to my November 3rd article, 2012, I reveal exactly what happened to the good ambassador in this situation. And some people got the idea that because Monica's kid played with Tito's kid, and this isn't from Monica, by the way, folks, this is from outside sources that I have, and they thought that Monica might be a problem. So at 11 p.m. one night, she gets the CPS knock on the door. And that night, Dylan was taken, and all hell broke loose. And it wasn't, well, it was maybe 6 months after that, was when Monica reached out to me. I guess her father had read some of my articles on the Common Sense Show. And she reached out to me, and we looked into her case and said, this is legit. And I started receiving intel on Tito right away. But I want to stress to everyone who's listening, Monica in no way, shape, or form was involved in this aspect of that. She had a very, very difficult time getting her son back, and her son went through unimaginable horrors. Probably the longest introduction I've ever done in the history of the show, but I wanted to set the standard, because joining us from the Washington, D.C., Virginia area is Monica Weselowski. Monica, it's really great to have you back, and we certainly have been through the wars together in the last year, haven't we?
Yes, indeed. Hello. Hi, Dave.
Hi. Well, you're on with Dave and Annie and our listening audience, and I don't think that a week goes by, Monica, where I don't get an email or two from people, even though this case is largely out of the headlines now, asking how you're doing and how your son Dylan is doing. And you really struck a chord with the American people. We were able to raise, I think, in the vicinity of about $40,000 for your legal defense. And it takes a lawyer from outside the area where your kid is taken to get your money back, or to get your child back, I should say. Getting the money back, that's not going to happen. But let's talk about the status of everything. When Dylan was taken from you, let's take the audience back in time to a year and a half ago. When he was taken from you, he was coming up on his fifth birthday. They eventually put him in a foster home. Let's talk about the circumstances, the outrageous circumstances connected to that foster home.
Okay, well, one was that I was Catholic, I'm Roman Catholic, and they put my son in a foster home of two homosexual men. And in Virginia, at that point at least, it wasn't even legal to marry. It was a man and a woman. So according to Virginia law, it was an unmarried couple, and you know, they don't have the same values as I do. I wasn't told that he was put in that home. I was only introduced to one parent at a certain point, never heard about the other one until a shock video, a Skype video to video with my son when I was finally permitted one. is when I found out on that there were, that it was a home of two men, and they had my son vaccinated against my wishes. They cut my son's hair drastically. It's not something that's permitted by, even according to CPS own rules. You're supposed to go by the guidelines of the parents, and you're supposed to ask them first. And so a lot of things that weren't supposed to happen were happening.
Yeah, but there was some things in particular that were happening that were particularly disturbing. Let's talk about that.
Well, okay, well, my son started acting out severely. He was behaving in a manner that suggested that he'd been sexually assaulted. He had a hard time, you know, communicating, was very angry, didn't want to go to the bathroom alone. He was scared. He requested that I go to the bathroom with him. He didn't want to use his hands at particular times. He kept saying his hands were yucky and gross, and he wanted to chop them off. He had a whole session in the corner where he stood for about 20 minutes screaming about wanting to chop off his hands. Mommy, mommy, please chop off my hands. He was coming daily wearing diapers, and he was five, and my son was...
So he regressed back into diapers? Let's not go too fast here. So
yes.
your child was already potty trained, and he then, at the age of five, regressed back into diapers, and you assume because of the trauma that he was being exposed to.
Yes, yeah. He started defecating on himself and was having severe accidents in his underwear. It got to the point, they led him to the point where it's as if he wasn't even potty trained at all. And when he was at school, he only had a change of underwear just in case, and he hardly ever needed that. He was fully potty trained.
Yeah, that's. But you also found other evidence to suggest that these foster parents were doing more than cutting his hair and exposing him to the stress that would cause him to regress to pre-potty trained days. Your son was being abused, wasn't he?
I believe so, and it wasn't just one foster home. Since he bounced around a second foster home, where he told me in the second one he was being, they were cruel. It was a type of mental and physical abuse by locking him in a room all day alone. They would, you know, intentionally deprive him of food, which I've heard is common in really bad foster homes. They abuse the children. They deprive them of food. He was losing weight. He actually lost a pound almost immediately when he was placed in foster care, and he's a growing child, so children should never actually be losing weight when they're already skinny. And I found out that they were giving unsupervised visits to the other side of the family, even going against, according to, you know, CPS's own rules. A lot of bad stuff was happening. I found out that two men had children almost at all times present with them. I mean, they would come to the visits with a teenage boy who they would say was a friend of the family. He was not their child. He wasn't a family member. There was no other parent present. I saw pictures of my son among many other teenage boys, lots of boys always hanging around. All of the signs were there where there was red flags going off for me about what was going on with my son, and I was worried.
Well, you should be. Didn't you discover some incriminating physical evidence regarding a rash in your son?
Yeah, he had he would come filthy and dirty, and most of the visitation time was actually spent giving him a bath rather than even being able to play with him at times. And although the workers that were there are scared to say it now, I mean, they were there present and saw that my son had a rash on his bottom that did not look like a diaper rash to me, and he was in pain. He said it hurt. I mean, it's stuff that a parent should never, ever have to think about their child ever being in that position. And I could tell because I was giving him a bath, and I had the worker come in, and I showed her, and she said, take pictures of that right now. And I said, well, I'm scared to take pictures because it's going to be used against me. And she had said, no, you need to take pictures. I'm here, and I'm a witness that this happened, that there's, you know, stuff on him, that there's swelling and redness on his anus. And unfortunately, that worker now claims that she thinks it was a diaper rash. That's not what she told me at that time. That's not what I thought. Right. That I know that's not what she thought. That's not what we discussed.
And this is not, let me say it this way. I scratch that comment that I was going to say, but let me say this. Some anonymous tip led CPS to you, and they're all too happy to oblige because of the monetary situation. Your boy's last name is Rodriguez, minority status. He's on the autism spectrum, more money for CPS. So when you look at these factors, CPS had motivation. But as I alleged here, and this isn't Monica's statement, what I've been able to learn through my investigation is that this more than likely came from a tip from anonymously from someone connected to the State Department, because they were upset with Monica because they thought she had some kind of relationship with Tito and what he was into with reporting child sex trafficking to Congressman Frank Wolf. And I want to stress again, Monica has no knowledge of this. This is strictly what I've learned at this point. But once you get into the web of CPS, you really don't get out. Monica, if you hadn't had a lawyer from outside the area, would Dylan be home with you today?
No, I absolutely would not have my son had I not gotten a referral to an attorney who had connections to parentalrights.org and who, you know, it was very expensive. So without the donations, I would not have afforded this attorney at all. None of them come for free.
Yeah. If you don't mind me asking, what is the total size of your legal bill to date?
It was over $100,000 to fight this all. It was, I started with one attorney, my original divorce attorney, and she, you know, had threats by the assistant DA that I need to keep quiet. I had such a difficult time. She really didn't want the case. I think I paid $10,000 to her alone before the donations came, and then believe we raised some. I think I know it was like $15,000 through the P.O. Box donation, or no,
right,
through
right.
Yeah, P.O. Box. So we had like $30,000, right? Was it close to, or was it something like that through the GoFundMe?
Yeah, I think it was closer to. It was on the high side of 30, probably closer to 40, but it was expensive.
And yeah, and
it came at a
20,
price,
000.
But these yeah. people don't play fair, do they?
No, there's no fair play because you can't. They're betting on the fact that you cannot afford to fight back, and the state always has money. The county will always have more money.
Yeah, they use our taxpayer money against us. So you actually had some encounters with the First Cousin organization that actually takes over the seizing and distribution of children, the Department of Family Services, which is related to CPS in Virginia. And they suborn perjury. They try to buy off witnesses. Let's talk about that for a minute. When you were getting prepared to take them on legally, let's talk about some of the ways that they broke the law.
Well, they lied on the stand. They openly lied on the stand in court. They lied in the CPS appeal. That's what we caught them lying. We had like four recorders. I came in with two attorneys. I had four recorders running. They pretty much compared me to somebody who would have taken an infant and bashed their head, which actually she did. She used that comparison. Somebody who would take an infant and bash their head against the floor or a wall to kill them.
Yeah,
so
what did they originally charge you with? Yeah, let me interrupt you there. What did they originally say that you did wrong that they had to take your son?
They claimed that I tried to choke him. And, so
and
that
what
was,
did they base that evidence on? What evidence did they have?
They had an eczema rash that my son had that was verified by a doctor.
Yeah, eczema rash on the back of the neck, you know, nothing on the front of the neck.
Eczema rash exactly where a clothing tag is, and he had been itching, and they kept changing their story on how I supposedly choked him. First the hands were like that, then the hands were like this. First the bruises were here, then they were there. By the way, there was never a single bruise, but that was their claim. They actually counted somebody at the school put two Band-Aids on my child. He did not need that. And when they took off the Band-Aids, there was the sticky gray marks. So they counted Band-Aid marks in the photos as bruising. And I made that very clear that that's a Band-Aid mark. What they were pointing to were actual sticky, dirty marks. And so it was just sick the way it was done. It was a setup. It was very sick the way it was done.
Yeah, it was a setup, I believe, for all the reasons I said in the beginning. And like I said, CPS across the country, they're motivated by the Safe Families Act, and the federal government pays them to steal your children. And any of you can be targeted, like Monica was, if you fall on the wrong side of favor to someone in a position of authority. Before we go to break, I just wanted to mention this real quick. Monica, I remember through the course of the proceedings with CPS that you had someone from DFS named Magda who attempted to, let's say, unduly influence the testimony of a witness who was going to be supportive of you, but she was trying to buy her off to testify.
Oh, yes. Magda Alarcon tried to buy off my therapist, who refused to state that I was mentally unstable, which my therapist said, I cannot do such a thing because that's not the case.
That's right. And she attempted to do the same thing on your psyche eval with a psychologist.
Yes.
And
psychologist, what
happened to her? Did she keep her job after these people were discredited by your lawyers? We have to have a quick answer. We've got 20 seconds.
Yes, she kept her job. Nothing changed for her. Oh, actually, she was taken off the case, but she's still working.
Yeah, okay. Amazing. And these are the kinds of people that work in CPS. Anyway, we're going to step aside for a break. And we come back, we're going to expand this and talk about how all of you can go through this horror as soon as we find out how Monica was reunited with her son Dylan in probably the most traumatic year of her life. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll see you on the other side. I want to talk to you about some medical conditions out there. I mean, whether it's asthma, if you're having problems with your colon, if you have problems with hay fever, itchiness, allergies, anything. Name something. All of it can be treated naturally. And my friend Katie Whalen, who you're going to hear in the next hour, she is at the forefront of helping people who are suffering with minor conditions and sometimes very serious conditions. And she dabbles in, more than dabbles, she's really obsessed with spreading the word about the effectiveness of essential oils. And they have a rich history of helping people live healthier lives. And it's in opposition to the cut it out, burn it out, poison it out system that modern medicine has. In fact, when modern medicine treats cancer, you're more likely to die from the treatment than you are from the cancer itself. And Katie has all kinds of offers available for Common Sense Show listeners. Too many to really go into, but I want you all to call Katie tomorrow. If you've got a health dilemma right now and you're not satisfied with the level of care that you're receiving, you really need to reach out to Katie and you need to ask her, what do you have that could help me? Her reasonably priced products, and she has books that she'll give you that will help facilitate your knowledge on what you're dealing with. Katie is really the place you need to go. Her website is FamilyEssentialShop.com. Again, that's FamilyEssentialShop.com. But more importantly, I would encourage you to call Katie. Have a personal conversation with her about your situation so she can make recommendations on which one of her product line might be the best suited for you. And I'm getting rave reviews from people who have worked with Katie, who have contacted her. Essential oils is really taking hold in this country and spreading across the country like wildfire. You can call Katie at 720-630-3111. Again, that's Katie from FamilyEssentialShop.com. And her phone number again, is 720-630-3111. And I want to remind everybody about my good friend Pat Wood. And he's written a book about the imminent fall of Western society. And what he's talking about, not so much as even an economic collapse, but a takeover, an Agenda 21 takeover, and what he refers to as technocracy, that'll take away our liberties, our power, our mobility as people. And he's written all about it in a book called Technocracy Rising. And you may have heard Patrick here on the show, but in the hour-long interviews that we do with Patrick, we can't begin to even scratch the surface. So what I would encourage you to do, and he's got a special deal for you up on my website. If you go to thecommonsenseshow.com, and you look at the top left ad, you can't miss it. It's the one that blinks on and off. Technocracy Rising, Pat Wood. You go there and you click that on. He's got a special offer there for Common Sense Show listeners. So his book is reasonably priced, and it's really one of the most important books of our time. But if you go to thecommonsenseshow.com, click on Pat's ad at the top, he's got a special offer for you that will go with a greatly reduced price, and you're going to get an autographed copy. So I'd encourage you, all of you, to buy and read, digest, and share one of the most important works in our time. We're joined by Monica Wesolowski, someone who I've gotten to know quite well over the last year. We spent a lot of hours strategizing, and we're happy to report that Dylan is home with Monica. Now, you know, Monica's not totally out of the woods yet, but she does have primary custody. You know, Dylan's spending almost all nights with her. So we are successful in terms of we beat the odds. And through Monica's perseverance, and she's as tough as anyone I know, she beat the odds. And with the help of our listening audience, who contributed greatly to the raising of the funds needed to fight this out against the corrupt CPS in Virginia and their partners at DFS, we're happy to say that Dylan's home. But I think my message here to you tonight, and I know Monica's message, is this can happen to anybody. So, Monica, I want to put a wrap on your story and then expand this to other things going on.
Sure.
Eventually, because you had two skillful lawyers, they were able to expose the lies, the fact that CPS wasn't even following their own policies, they were acting in a criminal fashion. And I don't mean against policy, they were criminal. How was it? What was the tipping point where Dylan got to rejoin and be reunited with you?
What do you mean, what was the tipping point? Maybe I'm not understanding.
If you were to point to one thing and you said, okay, I knew I was going to get Dylan when this happened.
Well, my initial thought was when I won my CPS appeal and the claim was proven unfounded. Unfortunately, it wasn't till months later. I'm not even sure what the tipping point is.
No, I think that was it. I think when you won your appeal, I would agree with that. But it still took, it didn't take you another 2 or 3 months to get Dylan back?
A longer. They said, now you have to go through the system. And I didn't understand that because that doesn't make any sense. What do you mean I have to go through the system? And to me, it's like, oh, I have to go through the system of where everybody has to get paid. And the longer they keep my child, the more they get paid. And I don't know if it was retaliation or not, but I won my appeal, and yet they still kept saying, oh, but you didn't win the court case in the county, and that didn't make any sense because the court case was based off of the founded claim. None of it makes, it still doesn't make any sense to me to this day. And my attorneys, by the way, it didn't make sense to them either. So if it doesn't make sense to attorneys, then we have a problem with our court system.
Oh, they really do. We got some notoriety in some of your proceedings. I understand that my name and the Common Sense Show got brought up rather prominently.
Oh, yes. I wasn't allowed to go to the media anymore. I wasn't allowed to talk to anybody. I was told by the judge directly in court that if I went to the media, if I kept blogging, that I was putting my child in danger.
Yes.
And that I wouldn't get my son back.
Yeah, talking to Dave Hodges on the Common Sense Show was endangering the life of your son.
Well, they called it a conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
So...
yeah, it's a conspiracy theory when they show up at 11 o'clock at night and steal your kid from you without provocation or cause and then put you through hell, engage in suborning perjury, lying under oath multiple times, violating your civil rights, exposing your son to sexual abuse from two perverts. How am I doing, Monica? I mean, was that
a conspiracy theory
or were those facts?
Those are facts.
Yeah, well, when you challenge the actions and statements of known liars and criminals, it's no longer a conspiracy theory. It's a conspiracy fact. And this is what happened here. And this is one of the few times we've been able to effect a change, I think, against such a criminal organization, because most people aren't successful. And
I heard it was very rare that I won.
Yeah, well, you got your son back, and I know that there's still challenges ahead, and we need to help you raise some more money, because we didn't meet all the legal expenses. Unfortunately, your attorneys did see this through to the completion of your son being returned to you. So let's talk about for a second. You're going to do a GoFundMe account, and I'll put that up on my website here when you have that in the next couple of days. But in the short term, if people want to assist you, because you still have need for legal representation, they're still probing and prodding and looking for an opening to get back into the case, and you need lawyers who can help you.
Oh, yes. I had a second investigation by CPS, so that was nuts. I received a letter about a month or so ago saying that a second investigation was closed on me, so they have not stopped the attacks. It's consistent.
Yeah, and this is why we need to keep Monica with legal representation. So, Monica, until we get the GoFundMe account public and we distribute it through Facebook and on my website, let's talk about right now how people could reach out and help you in the short term.
Okay, well, they can send donations to my P.O. Box, which is under Monica, M-O-N-I-K-A, Wesolowski, W-E-S-O, L-O-W-S-K-I, and that's P.O. Box 40926. That's P.O. Box 40926, Arlington, A-R-L-I-N-G-T-O-N, Virginia, and that's 22204.
Okay, so again, that is Monica Wesolowski. That's Monica with a K. Wesolowski is spelled W-E-S-O-L-O-W-S-K-I, and that's P.O. Box 409-626,
no.
Arlington. No?
40926.
40926. Okay, so let me say that again. P.O. Box 40926, Arlington, 22204, Arlington, Virginia. Yeah, and we'll get this out to in the public domain, because there's still an ongoing need, and they'd like nothing better than to turn this embarrassing defeat in which we exposed people's names, we exposed them to much public ridicule that was justified. Then I'm just going to take this laying down. I mean, Monica's likely to face this with Dylan for some time to come, so we all need to step up, and like the Oath Keepers that rushed to the site of BLM intrusions and violations of people's personal property rights, we need to also rush to the aid of young moms like Monica Wesolowski for her six-year-old son, now Dylan. We need to step up, folks, as an audience. And this is why I invited Monica back on. And I want to stress this, too. Monica didn't invite herself back on my show. It was strictly yours truly idea, because I talk to Monica on a semi-regular basis. How are things? How are Dylan? And she updates me on the latest, and I can tell you I can't reveal a lot about what's going on, but they're not totally out of the woods. What advice would you give to moms and dads when those CPS horn-wearing people show up at the door? They ring your doorbell, and you answer the door, and they go, we're from CPS.
Do not answer your door. Do not let them in. Call your attorney right away, or call an attorney. Look for an attorney. Ask them for a warrant. They are not allowed in your home. The police or CPS, SWAT team, I don't care who it is, they are not allowed in your home. You have a constitutional right without a warrant. You do not answer your door. You do not speak to them. The more you speak, the more is twisted and used against you. Every word you say will be used against you. Do not speak at all. Do not even, you know, attempt to defend yourself, explain your story. Do not open the door. Do not let them in. Do not speak. And contact an attorney right away, have family come over, have witnesses, and keep a camcorder with you. Always
yeah, videotape.
Audio and video record everything. I did. I eventually got a video and audio recorder, and I caught them at everything. They were pretty scared once I had the video recorder out.
Of course, because rats don't like being exposed to the light of day. What if they show up with the police? Before you allow
them
entry.
Never sign anything. Never, ever sign a safety plan. That was the biggest mistake ever. I had literally a SWAT team around me. You got four officers standing in black vests. You're scared. You're terrified. They're huddled around you, and they're telling you that they're going to take your child into foster care immediately, that you will lose custody of your child if you do not sign a safety plan. Never, ever sign a safety plan because you're signing your rights away. If you have to put down Mickey Mouse in lettering, never actually sign your name. Anything, you know, under duress, do not sign. That is their way to take away your rights, because once you sign a safety plan, they take that to a judge immediately.
Well, I would agree. In fact, I think my reaction would be, well, if you're going to kidnap my kid using the force of law, go ahead. I'm not signing anything. Because once you sign, you acknowledge that you're agreeing to abide by their rules. You're in their system. They have their own legal system, and you're at their mercy. And see, Monica, that's what's amazing to me, is your attorney was able to go into their system and win against their own people.
True, but my attorney was also outside the county and had been involved with the homeschooling network and, you know, had affiliations with parental rights. So, you know, at least I found, like, the good guys. That's very difficult to do. Many attorneys are afraid.
Well, I think that's very good advice. If the police are standing there with a CPS, do they still have to have a warrant?
Yes, they do. Police,
what if they say we're here for a welfare check? What can you do without letting them in?
You can, if you have a screen door, you can bring your child up to the screen door and show them, here's my child, he's fine. You can open the door and not let them in. Say, I can open the door, show you my child, but you are not permitted in my home.
Yeah, I wouldn't even go that far. I would not open the door. Make them break down your door. I mean, they don't like to leave behind that kind of evidence. I think it's important, and I hope everyone's listening, because you're thinking right now, this does not apply to me. Do you have kids or grandkids? It applies to you. Monica didn't deserve what
she got.
It can
happen to anybody. I'm a State Department employee. I never, ever thought that it could happen to me. I come from a good home, a good background. I don't break the rules. I don't get arrested. I don't do bad things. I don't lie, cheat, steal. I was very shocked. I have a clearance. I was the last person to think that could happen to me.
Yeah, it was surprising to me too, but I think I won't belabor that point, so I'll scratch that. Let's move on to the next thing. One of the reasons I also wanted to bring you on too is you have knowledge of a case here that I don't have a lot of knowledge of. And it's here in my county, in Maricopa County, and it involves a case related to medical kidnapping. And this is another way that CPS is stealing our kids. Monica, let's talk and tell the listening audience what you know about this particular case and just how outrageous the conduct of the judge has been.
Well, this case involves Melissa Deagle, and she has an account, Justice for Sisters, and it's two daughters of hers that were medically kidnapped. They're on feeding tubes. They have a rare condition. I'm not sure if it's called Munchausen's or something. I know that they have a very rare condition, and the two of them both have it, and so this is perfect for a drug trial. You know, essentially it's like the kind of drug case that someone would want to have. And so they were essentially medically kidnapped, and it's just sad. I mean, there's a medical kidnapping website. I think it's like medicalkidnapping.org, and it has all the stories of the child Isaac and of the Deagle daughters, and it's tragic because it's a huge problem right now. That's a pretty big problem.
Yeah, it's. Let's talk about that judge for a second. So if people let this get to the level of where you go into court, in fact, let me even back up before that. What I remember reading in Mary Tyndall had sent me about this case was that the mom disagreed with the initial treatment protocols, and she wanted to see if another doctor would say something different, so she sought a second opinion. And isn't that when the CPS was called in?
Well, no, I believe that she was in one hospital at first, and something happened where the children were moved to a different hospital, and one hospital disagreed with the other. There was, mm-hmm. Infighting between the hospitals. And so the second hospital had a doctor that's where the problem began. This doctor is funded by Canadian and American pharmaceuticals to do these drug trials, and he was still is taking children. And they started claiming that the children had these feeding tubes in this condition due to neglect and abuse. That was not true at all. And that's where it ended up spiraling out of control, where, they were doing a trial where they were taking the girls off of the feeding tubes, which would have meant that they would have starved and died. And Melissa started fighting hard for her children. And they were saying that she was even being abusive by going against the doctor's wishes, which is crazy because no mother is going to let her children die.
Yeah, so if you disagree with a doctor, you're abusive to your own child, even when you have another medical opinion that supports you. It reminds me, I don't remember the couple's name, they were immigrants, but they were in California, and they took their baby from one hospital because they disagreed, and they were going to go get a second opinion, and the cops showed up and stole the baby from the parents. That's right, it's been on YouTube, it's circulated all over the internet. Very similar. In fact, you mentioned Munchausen's earlier. Munchausen's is an allegation, it's a mental illness that says that parents will harm their kids so they can rescue their kids medically and appear to be the hero. And that's what the second hospital, or the first hospital was doing, the one connected to the pharmaceuticals in this case, is they were saying that mom was deliberately making their kids sick and they didn't need to be on the feeding tube. And if they'd have gotten their way, the kids would have died. But let's talk about this judge. This judge who's overseeing this case is a piece of work. So let's talk about Melissa Deagle's judge and what the judge ordered her to do.
Well, the judge ordered her to compile a list of every single family and person and journalist that she's been in touch with. The judge wanted the names, addresses, and phone numbers of every single person that Melissa had interacted with in the past couple of years. And she did not want to do that. There was a lot of moms that were contacting her in similar situations looking for help. And the problem was that if she had exposed them, who knows how far along in their case they were, this judge would have possibly retaliated and taken away their children. So she didn't want to put other families in harm's way. And when she refused to comply, initially I think she gave some big journalistic names or something like that, and that wasn't enough. The judge said, I want everybody, and she couldn't do that. And so the judge said, if you don't provide this list by X amount of date, then I'm putting you in jail. And she was under constant threat, and eventually she did not put her in jail, which is shocking, and I think it's just because the judge realized it was illegal to do that. But Melissa had made up some motions and was fighting it, and the judge absolutely refused to hear any of the motions. Everything was tossed out. Ironically, the date to be put in jail was a date that she was ordered to be in court, so it wasn't even fair. I mean, the things that were going on, just it seems out of this world. And the fact that the judge closed the doors, Judge McNally, closed the doors to the courthouse and did not let anybody in or out when she made these threats. And actually, a woman, I don't have her name offhand right now. I'm having problems with my phone. So I'm surprised I'm still able to make this call. Right now my phone is locked. I cannot alter it. I can't end a call. I can't
anything. Surprise, surprise.
My screen is blank. I cannot move in. Yeah. My screen is completely blank. None of the buttons work. Thank goodness that it's a new, touch screen phone that only doesn't have anything else. The center button would end the call. I cannot get through any other, you know.
Yeah, hey, Monica, it's okay. We have our tractor beam on it, and the powers that be can't stop us. Hey, look, we had a guest on a few weeks ago where we were totally taken down except listen by phone, and he was revealing the fact that ISIS was funded by the CIA, and he was naming names over people that oversaw the Swiss bank accounts. So you're in good company when they're doing this. you're in very good company.
I'm getting texts right now. I'm sorry because of the binging. I unfortunately cannot alter my settings on my phone, although I have.
Okay.
I have turned off the volume for that, but it's not working. Nothing that I have done has worked, so I'm in lockdown mode on my phone, and I'm just grateful that I'm even able to talk to you.
Well, we can hear you. You're 5x5 here. You're good. You're good
all
to
right,
go
well,
here.
Okay, so the judge closed the doors, and
Lock the doors. Let's tell it what it is.
Lock the doors. Lock the doors to the courtroom. Yes, lock the doors. And I didn't even know that was possible either, by the way. So I've never seen that happen. Lock the doors. And there was a lady, I do not recall her name, politician in her area, that was demanding to go inside. And she actually had to pull out her credentials and make a threat and say, "You let me in now." And so it was very difficult for her to even get in. To know what was going on, and so that, you know, we have problems in our court system when, you know, these hearings are locked door hearings that are supposed to be public hearings, and they're closed to the public.
Yeah, it's, you know, I think this is pretty much true across the country, but in Arizona, we get to vote on judicial retention. And so every election, you get this long list of judges. And look, none of us know who these judges are unless you're someone like Melissa Deagle and you're getting screwed by one of these judges. You have no way of knowing who they are. So here's the rule of thumb, folks. In the next election, vote no on every judge. Because so many of them are so corrupt. These stories
definitely
are so common. They're so commonplace right now.
And Dave, can you mention, or are you able to, I don't know, about the Cradle to the Crayons program and all the judges that are part of that? I do not know the list. But those
go ahead, bring that up, yeah.
Okay, Cradle, Mary from Vocal made me aware of Cradle to Crayons, a program where it fast-tracks adoption, so it actually takes the kids away from parents quicker. Instead of having that year, whatever it is, to, you know, like, here, do this, do that, and we'll help you through, and we'll get you back your kids. If you comply, we'll give you your kids. No, it's a fast-track system to almost instantly adopt out children. They are adopted out to strangers. That's it. Your children are gone. They are signing this program under the guise that it's for the children, which, by the way, the best interest of the child is almost always the parent, because in 75% of the abuse cases, the parent has done nothing, and even a bad parent is better than no parent or a foster parent. It's just shocking to see what has happened with our world and society today. What I used to recall was even a bad parent was better than no parent at all. But now these children are being fast-tracked into adoption without the parent's say, and this is a program funded in Arizona right now. I don't know about other states. I've looked. Maybe they have different names. And all the judges that are part of this Judge McNally, needs to be a punished, unelected, whatever the word for it is. People, do not vote her back in. Call her up. Email her text or email her, you know, write to her. Let her know that you're not happy with this program. Try to get her off of this program. The judges that are on these programs are the ones that are taking away the children because that's their incentive. They're in the program, and it's funding to do this.
It never ends. Let me take you back, and listening audience, back to Oklahoma about a year and a half ago, where they had almost 80 kids just disappear from their version of CPS. They call it something else, but I don't recall the name off the top of my head. But it was effectively their CPS. And 80 kids just disappeared. And what ends up happening in a lot of these cases, in fact, we had on Christy, the ex-Virginia CPS agent, she said that what ends up happening is a lot of these adopted or foster parents will get 3, 4, 5 kids, and they'll just disappear. And I'm thinking, okay, well, then you call the FBI, you call local law enforcement, you track them down. You got to protect the rights of these kids and make sure they're okay. They don't do that. They attempt to make payment one time, after they lose contact. And if the male comes back to them, they just write the kids off. And this is how kids end up in sex trafficking, because these parents will just pick up and these foster parents and take these kids to another location, but they show up often without the kids. And
or they sell them online.
Or they sell them online. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's kind of like
There's a website where they actually sell children online. I'm just shocked when I heard about it. I can't look at it myself because I can't, as a parent, having gone through this, I get so upset every time I hear about all these cases. I don't have the heart or the ability to be able to look at that because what can I do to help except, you know, talk about it, except let people know. But there's a website that they sell children, and this should never on any planet ever be happening, especially in the U.S.
Exactly, yeah. And this is how they get trafficked out. You're exactly right. There's so much more to talk about. But Monica, we're out of time. So, again, I'm going to give this out, and if I misspeak here, correct me. Monica Wesolowski, Monica with a K, Wesolowski, P.O. Box 40926, that's 40926, Arlington, Virginia, 22204. Give what you can, no donations too small, because she's not totally out of the woods yet. There's things we can't quite reveal yet, but we're going to bring Monica back as the situation unfolds. And folks, we're all at risk, so when we stand up for one, we're really standing up for everybody. Monica, I want to thank you so much for joining us. Again, I know how hard it is to talk about this after the trauma that you and Dylan have been through. So from the bottom of my heart, much appreciation and love.
Dave, I want to know how Dylan is. Monica, how's
Dylan? He's got visitation now. I don't have him right now. And he's done worse.
Yeah, he's going through,
sorry.
Let's say that Dylan's going through an adjustment after what he went through.
Yes, very much so.
Yes.
Let's help Monica out.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, anyway, Monica,
Dave, thank you so much. Yes, thank you. And if you can't, you'll have to hang up on me because I can't use my phone.
Okay, all right. So, Todd, I'm sure you heard that part. We're going to have to disconnect from Monica. And we're going to step aside for our top of the hour break here. Let me just say that we're going to be joined by Katie and then by Annie. And you're going to want to stay tuned because Katie's got some great stuff in the health report. And Annie has some knock 'em dead news that you're not going to hear on Fox and Friends. Oh, we should talk about Fox and Friends. Oh, my God. They're calling Jade Helm Jed Helm, as in the Beverly Hillbillies. Anyway, more on that after the break. Stay tuned. We'll see you.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.